There will be a Holocaust memorial ceremony today on Capitol Hill, and President Biden is expected to make comments there. And it'll be interesting to see just how hard he is on the campus anti-Semitism we've all witnessed. Meantime, yesterday, there was this report that Hamas had accepted the terms of a hostage ceasefire deal, but it was very unclear what those terms were. John Kirby from the podium said, what we don't want to do is rock the boat here. Meantime, we know that Israeli troops are going into Rafah, where there are four battalions of terrorists awaiting them. How difficult will that incursion be? We welcome in Jack Keane, retired four-star general and chairman of the Institute for the Study of War and Fox News strategic analyst. General, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to speak with you and your audience.
Is it any surprise that Hamas would suddenly say that they're agreeing to a ceasefire proposal just to have an offensive in Rafah? And what does it say about Rafah's military significance to them?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, these things are connected. The negotiations broke down on Sunday, and that was well advertised. Israel made an announcement that they wanted to evacuate people out of eastern Rafah, some 100,000, to a couple of enclaves that have been established with tents, medical facilities, food, and water. And they fully intended to proceed with their operation in the Rafah. Shortly after that, Hamas made an announcement that they are accepting the proposal that was on the table that had been rejected on Sunday. And Israel, when they closely examined it, it was just sort of a false flag. It was a ruse, because what Hamas was saying is what they've always said, and that is they want a permanent ceasefire, which means the end of the war, and Israel's not going to agree to anything like that. And Sinwar, who's Hamas's leader in Gaza, both political and military leader, he calls the shots here. And for months, you know, ever since the November release of 105 hostages and a six-week ceasefire, there's never been any progress, because he has completely insisted on two things: permanent ceasefire and complete withdrawal of his Israeli troops, which obviously are not acceptable to the Israelis. But the pressure point for Israel is they want to get the hostages back, obviously, and that pressure is mounting on the administration every single day. And they also want to continue their military operation to reduce the effectiveness of Hamas. So that's where we stand. This operation is beginning. I do think it. My sources tell me it's going to be in phases, not an all-out deliberate operation like we saw in northern Gaza, more similar to what we saw in Khan Yunis, where they tell the people in a particular neighborhood to move out. In this case, it's 100,000 people, and before they conduct their ground operations. And obviously, they're also telling Hamas where they intend to conduct ground operations, which certainly puts the Israeli soldiers at greater risk. And they know full well they'll take more casualties as a result of it. But that's sort of where we stand. I do think in the back of Israel's mind also is that this would put pressure on Hamas to possibly reconsider and accept some of the reasonable conditions that were on the table. That remains to be seen.
General, John Kirby, rather, said our security commitments to Israel are ironclad. But can you really say that when the Biden administration reportedly has delayed the sale of thousands of weapons to Israel?
Yeah, they've delayed, for our audience to understand, a weapon system called JDAMs, which helps to guide a conventional munition and turn it into a precision-guided munition. They've delayed 6,500. They have not indicated what is the reason for that delay. So we're left to speculate, certainly, that this is being used as leverage against Israel. But listen, I mean, so the audience understands, when the president came out publicly and disagreed with Israel's war aims in Gaza, specifically Rafah, and then disagreed with Israel using military pressure to force the release of the hostages, that absolutely undermines Israel and strengthens Hamas's hand in these negotiations. It gives them the opportunity to protract the war even further in accomplishing their goals, which is more isolation of Israel, more international condemnation of Israel. So in both of these instances, Israel is certainly being undermined, for sure, dealing with publicly wire-brushing Prime Minister Netanyahu and his war cabinet on how they're prosecuting the war, which I think is unprecedented, you know, for an allied relationship that we would get involved in the details of how you conduct military operations.
General, this has been talked about before. If the U.S. were conducting this operation in Gaza, do you think it would be more precise and there would be fewer civilian casualties?
Well, we have considerably more precision-guided munitions than they do. I think if we were conducting the operation militarily, I just can speak based on my own experience and how we do this.
Mm-hmm.
There would be some differences. We would rely considerably less on air power, and when we used it, it would only likely be precision munitions. The Israelis have a problem, and we would have that problem too, is early on in the war in Gaza, they were using conventional bombs, which are not accurate. And I think they were doing that because of the explosive and lethality that they have, and the fact that they can penetrate, and they were trying to destroy the tunnels. And that likely increased the civilian population. But we've got to remember, Sinwar, who's running this operation in Gaza, he talks about it. He wants the martyrdom of these civilians. He'd welcome another 10 or 20,000, as diabolical and sinister that is, because it further isolates Israel, it weakens them politically in his mind, and it puts them on the path to eventual political extinction and destruction. We always got to go back and pin the rose on why this is. And there's not a single tunnel complex in 300 miles plus of tunnel complex. And the Israelis admit they haven't found them all. None of them are used as bomb shelters to protect the people.
Yeah.
How tragic is that?
That's a good point.
General, we've only got a minute left, but I heard someone say, and I want to try to wrap our heads around just as the IDF enters Rafah, just how dangerous this is. I heard one analyst say that it takes 10 Israeli troops and commandos to root out one Hamas terrorist that's in the tunnels. Is that correct? How difficult will this extrication be?
You know, it is very, very challenging. They try not to actually fight in the tunnels. You know, because the tunnels themselves, you know, are literally ambush traps, and they're also wired with booby traps and explosives. So it's very difficult what they're prosecuting. And the Israelis fully admit that the tunnel complexes that they're encountering throughout Gaza are far more extensive than what they thought, even though they've had previous experience in dealing with it. You have to recognize that Hamas receives millions of dollars every single month from donors all around the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of it passed through Qatar, strangely enough, you know, who is involved in the negotiations here. And they use all of that to solidify their military operation, certainly, and to certainly fund the rocket factories that they have, where they get the components from Iran,
mm-hmm.
but put together those weapon systems themselves, and the people are left and abandoned during this conflict, where any democracy, the people would be who they would be protecting.
Exactly.
Go way out of our way to do everything we could to protect our own population from the horrors of war. They actually want that population
right.
exposed and martyred, as Sinwar refers to it.
Excellent point. And by the way, he's watching what's happening on our nation's campus, and that gives him comfort and hurts our peace talks as well. General Keane, always a pleasure, always enlightening. Thank you.
Yeah. Good talking to you. Thank you.
All right. General Jack Keane, Fox News consultant. When we come back, the latest on a very important connection with what Paul W. Smith is doing on his Travel Michigan tour. We'll get to that next on JR Morning. You know, traveling up north this spring and summer, it is going to be amazing. And it's been an early spring up there. The morels are starting to pop, getting to the lake. And, of course, Mackinac Island is going to be something that a lot of folks have planned. And did you know that getting to Mackinac Island can be as much fun as being there? It is, at least when you ride with Mackinac Island Ferry Company. They've been providing service to travelers looking to enjoy the island's historical sites, hotels, restaurants, all of it, since 1878. And you can hightail it to the island now in this fall on Mackinac's only Hydrojet Rooster Tail ferry boats. They'll also help you save money with free parking and shuttle service. Children under five, pets, luggage, all ride free. You can take an affordable day trip the whole family will love. So skip the lines with a Mackinac Island Ferry Company priority boarding option. Plan your Mackinac vacation in one place with the Mac Pass, where you can bundle your Mackinac Island Ferry Company ferry tickets with local attractions. Get your tickets online now at MackinacFerry.com. You know how to spell it. MackinacFerry.com. Your Mackinac Island adventure begins with the Mackinac Island Ferry Company.